So students, over the next 3 weeks, what I want to talk to you about is this idea that there is sometimes this gap. And the gap exists between where we are and who God wants us to become. For example, sometimes we think that in order to worship God, we have to be at church, we have to be at M12, we have to be with our friends, we have to be, you know, it has to be on a Sunday, it can't be, you know, on a Monday in our own home, in the privacy of our own bedroom, right? We think that worship, rather than worship being a lifestyle, we think it's an event. Or we think it's a place that we're at. And so what I want to encourage you to see during this series, and hopefully teach you during the series, is that true and genuine worship is, in fact, it's a lifestyle that you live. It's not always about where you are, but it is about who you are becoming. And if you're taking notes tonight on your bulletins, I want you to write that down. Here's the bottom line. This is the statement we're going to rally around for this entire series. We're going to talk about it every week. And here it is. Worship is not about where you are, but about who you are becoming. Worship is not about where you are, but about where you are becoming. Now, if you're honest with yourself tonight, and I hope you will be honest, right? Each of us, we worship something. Or for some of us, we worship someone. We worship something or we worship someone. When I say worship, I mean just simply an idea, right? That you care deeply about something or you care deeply about someone. For example, in my own life, a couple of weeks ago, I got super bothered by something that happened. Now, here's what one thing you need to know about me is I am a massive college football fan. Massive college football fan. So here's the thing, man. My Saturdays consist of lounging around and watching college football. Now, my team is the Tennessee Volunteers. Yeah. I'm a big Tennessee fan. Go Big Orange. And here's what you got to know about a Tennessee fan, even if you don't care about, you know, Tennessee, it's fine. But if you're a Tennessee fan, then it is impossible for you to like the University of Florida. It's just impossible. Like, you can't walk the line of Tennessee and Florida. If you like Tennessee, then you really strongly dislike Florida. And for me, that is very true. I very strongly dislike the Gator Chop. You know what I'm saying? And so, but here's what happened is this year in college football, over the last 10 years, Tennessee has never been picked to win this game. They've always been picked to lose, whether it was by a 10-point margin, 7-point margin, field goal, whatever. They've always been picked to lose. This year, Tennessee was picked to win. They were picked to beat Florida. And to make matters worse, right, this whole movement of Tennessee beating Florida reached the fan base. I want to show you a picture. This is a picture of the stadium. Now, it's orange and white, obviously the checkerboard, but here's what you don't know. These are people. And so you were to wear a certain color shirt based on the section that you were sitting in for this Florida game. Now, do you see any blue anywhere? Maybe in that bottom left corner, right? You see a little bit of blue. And so, I mean, there's Tennessee fans everywhere. I didn't go. My oldest brother went. And here's what happened. Tennessee lost. They lost 10-9. 10-9. Yes, it was a football game. Yes, it was 10-9. Yes, that is pretty pathetic. It is pretty sad. It really is. But here's what happened. This is what happened. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It has been a long time since this happened. But this loss consumed me. I mean, literally, it was all I could think about. It was all that me and my brothers were talking about. We were talking about plays. We were talking about players and the fact that they were terrible that game. We were talking about the quarterback. We were talking about even, like, seriously, I did not cry, okay? But I was close. I'm just admitting that to you, right? I was so bummed and so disappointed and so upset and so just, I was beside myself that we would go all out, checkerboard stadium, orange and white everywhere, go Vols, Tennessee, we're going to win. And then we lose 10-9. It's terrible. The problem, though, is I found myself, stay with me, I literally found myself worshiping Tennessee football, if you think about it. And it's pretty ridiculous. See, to worship something or someone, in essence, it's what consumes you. It's what you think about. It's what you talk about. That's what it means to worship something. And truthfully speaking, it might be a stretch, right? It might be a stretch, but I think you get the point that there was a really big gap in my life that weekend. And the gap, there was a gap between where I was and who God wanted me to become. Now, is there anything wrong with watching college football? No. College football is a great gift of the Lord, okay? But is there something wrong when it consumes you and it's all you can think about, it's all you can talk about, you're upset, right? You're like really stressing out because your team lost. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When you're yelling at the television thinking they can hear you, you know? Thinking that the referee is going to hear you from Decatur, Georgia, and he's in Tennessee, not going to happen, right? So, students, it consumed me. And here's the thing. God desires that we would become worshipers who worship him. God desires that we would become consumed by him and his love for us, that we would think about him, that we would talk about him, that we would, yes, be at church worshiping God, but we would also be in our home worshiping God, and we would be in our school being able to worship God. And it's not about a service where we're all corporately gathered, but it's about a lifestyle, right, that you and I live. And I want to read a passage to you. If you want to turn open the Bible beneath you or in front of you, I'd love for you to get your eyes on the text tonight. We're going to be in page number 1137, page 1137, and I need you to not talk while you're turning there. I just need you to pay attention and listen, because this is the essence of where we're going tonight, is strictly just one verse, just one simple verse that I want to talk to you about, that I want to teach you tonight, that I think will help you understand a little bit more about worship, about what worship means. The Bible says it like this, Romans 12:1. You can read along with me. You don't have to read out loud, of course, but get your eyes on the text. It says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, I want to teach you guys something important about the Bible and about Scripture. When there is the word therefore, you need to see why it's there for. Very simple. What is it there for? What is the writer of Romans, what is he referring to? What is he talking about? Well, look back with me, just one chapter away on the left side of the page, verse 33. This is what it says. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Verse 34, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. That last verse, it says, for him and from him and through him are all things. In other words, we serve a really, really, really big, awesome, incredible, amazing God. And then Paul says, therefore, because he's amazing, because everything is for him and from him and because of him, right? And through him, because of those things, then he says this, says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. So what the Bible is saying is, he's saying, I urge you therefore in view of God's mercy. Well, what is God's mercy? Let me tell you what God's mercy is. God's mercy is not getting what you and I deserve. Let me tell you what we all deserve. We all deserve God's wrath. We all deserve to die because of the sin that consumes us. We all deserve, right, to go to hell. Let's just be real about it. But because of God's mercy, and in God's mercy, he sent Jesus, the Son of God, right? God with skin on, came to the earth and lived among us, right? Loved people and served people. And he was the ultimate example of love. And so what Paul is saying is, he's saying, in view of God's mercy, in view of the fact that we don't get what we truly deserve, God's wrath. Instead, we get God's love. We get God's righteousness. We get the fact that God's one and only Son died for us on the cross for our sins. Not that we did anything to deserve that, but he did it anyway. In view of God's mercy, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So here's what I want to talk to you about. The first thing is this. What Paul is talking about here is, he's talking about worship God outwardly. Worship God outwardly. Worship him with your lifestyle. Worship him with the way you treat people. Worship him with the way that you speak. Worship him with the way that you spend your time. Worship him with what you do. He's saying, offer your physical body, you, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is your true and proper worship. See, students, this is something that doesn't happen overnight. I haven't figured this one out. It's a lifelong journey and a lifelong process. But what Paul is saying is that worship is not about where you are, but it's about who you are becoming. He wants you to become so consumed by him. He wants your physical body, you, to worship him. Why? Because he deserves it. In view of his mercy. Because he didn't give you what you deserve. He didn't give me what I truly deserve. And because of that, he deserves for us to worship him with our physical body. God wants us to worship him all the time. Not just when we're in M12. Not just when we come to 12 Stone on Sundays. Not just when we're going to our small group. Not just when we're going to church at Christmas. See, the Bible doesn't say worship. It doesn't say offer your bodies during Christmas time. It says offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. And so the first part is worship God outwardly. Physically worship God. And here's what's so cool about God, and then we're going to wrap up, is that God wired you and he wired me to worship him in a specific way. That he wired you and me to uniquely connect with him according to what we like to do, according to our hobbies, according to what we're passionate about, according to what we love. And so the second thing tonight before we wrap up is dig into your style of worship. Now, here's the thing that you're going to do tonight in your small group. Each of you, you're going to take an assessment. It's not a test because it's not school. But this is going to tell you, it's going to tell you based on who you are, this is a way that God has created me to connect with him. And so, for example, in the video, you saw the different styles. And these are not, this is not everything. This is just a way to relate to your relationship with God and how maybe he has created you to connect with him. For example, there's something called a naturalist. And the naturalist is the person that connects with God through nature. that you love being outside. You love going on a hike. You love being among the trees, right? You love just looking at God's creation in nature. You are a naturalist. Some of you, you're going to find out tonight, you're a naturalist. And so maybe you need to spend more time outside so that you can worship God the way he created you to worship him. Or secondly, artists. Some of you love to draw. You love to draw pictures. You love to journal. You love to write things down. You love to, you're an artist. I can't even draw a stick figure. But some of you guys, you're artists, right? And that's how God, right now in your life, seventh or eighth grade, he's created you to connect with him through being an artist right now. Or how about celebrator? Now, a celebrator is a person that loves corporate worship. You love Wednesday nights. You love coming down front. You love raising your hands. You love being in the crowd. You love hearing everyone's voice. You love even hearing your own, even if it doesn't sound good, right? I'm a little bit of a celebrator, okay? And that's how God's uniquely created you to connect with him. There's another one called reflector, and you love to just reflect. You love to write as well. You love to just connect with God on your own, right? Or a thinker. You love to be by yourself. You love to journal. You love to write. You love to just spend time with God when no one else is around. And you don't, you just want to just be you and God. And some of you guys are thinkers. I am a bit of a thinker myself. And lastly is servant. Some of you, the way you connect best with God is when you're helping someone else. Like this whole idea of Operation Christmas Child for you, servants, you are pumped. Like you wish you could just like stand up right now and yell at the top of your lungs because you're so pumped about serving children around the world. And you love to serve, and that's how you best, or that's one way that God has wired you to connect with him. I want to encourage you to dig into your style. And tonight, when you go to your small group, you're going to learn what your style is. Take this seriously. Put some time into it. Read the questions. Assess yourself based on who you are. It's not a test. It's not, oh man, I want to get this one right. It's not like that. Your leaders are going to talk you through it. They're going to lead you through it. But here's what's cool is that by the end of tonight, all of us will be able to leave this place and we'll be able to know this is a way that God has uniquely created me to worship him outwardly, to worship him with my life. And students, don't lose it. Worship is not about where you are, it's about who you're becoming. And what God wants is God wants all of you. He wants all of your time and he deserves it. All right, so let me pray before we have a couple of announcements. God, you're so good. Thank you so much that you wired us, you created us in such a way that we would uniquely be connected to you in a way that only we could. And God, I pray that as students go to their small groups in just a few minutes, that God, you would help them understand a little bit more about how you have wired them to connect with you. God, their worship style, that they would dig into that they would worship you outwardly, God, just as your word tells us to do. And Father, I thank you for these students. I thank you for this time. I pray as we leave here in just a minute that you would bless our small group time and that you would help us, God, to learn more about who you created us to be. In Jesus' name.